NAZI Media, Staff Philadelphia, PA, Feltonville cover photo courtesy, 6ABC Action News. Don't forget to like and subscribe to our YouTube channel. A 41-year-old man was reportedly shot and carjacked in the Feltonville section of the city last night. A 6ABC Action News report said the incident happened on West Roosevelt Boulevard near 4th Street at around 11 p.m. on Tuesday night. Photo, 6ABC Action News. According to police, the victim was sitting in his parked Mercedes SUV when two males approached and entered the vehicle. The carjackers reportedly struggled with the 41-year-old victim before shooting him in the back. The two suspects pulled the victim from the SUV after shooting him and took off in the vehicle, leaving the injured victim on the sidewalk. Greater than the two males got in the vehicle and fled in that Mercedes north on the 400 block of Roosevelt Boulevard, said Police Chief Inspector Scott Small. The victim was rushed to the hospital where he was last reported to be in stable condition. No suspects have been named and no arrests have been made at this time.
Chapter 1 Strong, Independent, Black Woman. Little E jumped up out of bed and headed for the bathroom with a huge grin on his face. He was going to get to hang with his older brother Justin today. Not just for a little while, but for the whole day. To most 12-year-old boys, hanging with their older brother would not have been a big deal. That wasn't the case for little E. Justin was his idol. He wanted to be just like Justin since he could remember. Plus, Justin lived with his dad during school time. Little E only got to see his brother during the summer time when he came to spend the summer at their house. If it was left up to little E, he would spend every minute of every day with Justin. He could never do that though. Justin was wildly popular everywhere he went. He lived in Cleveland with his dad where he was very popular at, and Justin was just as popular here in Philly. Everybody knew and loved him. Justin was one of those dudes that had that something about him that attracted people to him. Justin played every sport that you could think of. Not only was he good at every sport, Justin excelled in them shits. He was a special kind of talent. Justin's talents did not go unnoticed either. He had a football scholarship to attend USC next year. He was probably going to end up starting for the basketball squad too. This was going to be Justin's last summer in Philly for a while. He was probably going to be spending his summers in Cleveland with his dad or stay away at school. Little E knew it, which was why him getting to spend some time with his older brother was so important to him. Little E was nothing like his older brother. Even at 12 years old he was considered short. Very short as a matter of fact. He was terrible in sports. That athletic gene that Justin possessed had definitely come from Justin's dad. Little E wasn't lucky enough to inherit the athletic gene from his own deadbeat dad. What Little E lacked in athletics he more than made up for in the brains department. Little E was a smart little dude. While kids his own age was out chasing girls or playing video games, Little E had his heads in the books. He had a major love for astronomy. His dream was to work at NASA someday. E was a good with a good heart. He was the type that genuinely cared for people. Little E had big things planned for himself in the future. All that sounded good and all, but at 12 years old it was kind of hard to look forward to the future when it was so far away. Little E wanted something right now, or to be part of something right now. Just like every other kid his age, E was tempted to go out with his friends and get into some kind of juvenile mischief. He never did though. One of the main reasons was because him, Justin, and his little sister Takaya was raised by a very strong, proud, independent, black woman and she was having none of it. Dollar 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 dollar. Zakiya Washington was that strong, proud, independent, black woman that was raising little E, Takaya, and Justin. Zakiya was 32 years old and she was a woman that most young women looked up to. Seeing how Zakiya was now, one would never believe her if she'd told them some of the things she went through to get to this point in her life. Zakiya didn't really have a tough childhood. Like a large amount of teen girls growing up in the hood, Zakiya was a little fast and loose. She was always a very pretty girl, so that made things even worse because she had her choice of any dude she wanted. Zakiya had Justin when she was 16 years old and then she turned around and had Little E when she was 20. Having a child at 16 pretty much eliminated her childhood. And another child at 20 was threatening to take her party years completely away. That wasn't really a problem though, plenty of women managed to have a career and take care of home, that was far from unusual. The problem that Zakiya was having with that was the fact that she didn't have a career. Because she dropped out of school when she was pregnant with Justin and didn't have a GED or anything, Zakiya was having trouble finding a job that would even support her and her two kids. The fathers of the boys wasn't much help either. Zakiya met Justin's dad when they were both in high school. From the moment she got pregnant, he was denying the baby. The minute Big Justin graduated high school, he joined the Marines. Big Justin had already done a tour in Iraq, and as far as Zakiya knew, her or her new baby was the last thing on his mind at the time. Little E's dad was also out of the picture. His reasons behind that was a whole different thing. Big Eric, or Manny Strong as he was known around the way, had at least 20 kids running around the hood. Most people said that the true number was closer to 25, but no one knew for sure, not even Manny. He really didn't give a fuck either. Manny wasn't the only dude in the hood who had a football team worth of kids. He was not different in that way. The way that Manny was different from other deadbeat dads was that he was not a player. Not at all. You know how some people who have a lot of kids had a few one-night stands thrown in there, or chicks that he really didn't care for thrown into the mix? Not Manny. At one time or another, Manny had loved each and every one of his baby's mothers. That love quickly turned to hate the minute each one of them told Manny that she was pregnant by him. Zakiya was no different. Manny got ghost the minute he found out that she was pregnant. He wasn't the least bit curious to know if she had a girl or boy, if the baby was healthy, or what the baby looked like. Manny was a street dude. Not a get-money street dude. Just one of them dudes who was always in the street doing some petty shit to survive. Robbing, stealing, identity theft, it really didn't matter to Manny. If there was some paper involved, Manny was up on it. About 8 of Manny's baby's mother grew tired of his dumb shit and took him to court for child support. Zakiya was not amongst them. She wanted nothing at all from, or to do with Manny. Between the 10 children by the 8 women, the judge found that Manny owed over $60,000 in back child support. They put an arrest warrant out for him immediately. When Manny was picked up for the child support warrant, the courts found out that he was wanted for a few other things also. Manny was sent to the county jail to await trial on the multiple charges, and that was where he'd been at for about the last 6 or 7 years. With no baby daddies around to help her out and 2 kids to care for, Zakiya needed to find a way for her and her children to survive. Zakiya went to work. She managed to grab a full-time gig as a cashier at a local shop, right? At $8.50/hour, Zakiya knew that this was not going to be enough to survive on. She took a second job at a bar around the way as a bartender. She had no experience at all, but in a hood bar you don't need any. People only drank a few different kind of drinks, and none of them were very complicated to make. If you knew your alcohol, the job was a very easy one. Zakiya knew her alcohol. She was barely 21 years old at the time. The question you're probably asking right now as you're reading this is, how was Zakiya surviving before now if she was in the same position and not working, right? It was mostly because she was living at home with her mother, who was more than happy to take care of her daughter and grandbabies. Zakiya's mom passed away 6 months after little E was born. She left Zakiya with a house, but she also left her with the responsibility of paying bills, caring for herself, and caring for her own children. Initially, Zakiya was a bit overwhelmed, but looking at her kids every morning gave her the strength to find a way to survive. Zakiya let her best friend Michaela move into the house with her. Michaela didn't work, so she wasn't going to be much help in paying the rent, but she did get food stamps, plus she was willing to watch the kids for free while Zakiya worked. All Michaela wanted for watching the kids was a few bags of weed here and there. That was a very small thing that Zakiya was more than willing to pay. When Michaela moved out about 2 months later and moved in with her boyfriend, Zakiya was faced with a huge dilemma. Justin was almost 5 and little E was barely a year old. There was no way in the world that she was going to find someone to babysit them both for free. Zakiya managed to get Miss Kathy up the street to babysit them both for $100 a week. Miss Kathy did this huge favor for Zakiya because her and Zakiya's mom had been good friends before she passed. Even though Zakiya was only paying $100 a week for babysitting fees, every piece of money she made was already budgeted for this and that. The $100 a week was something Zakiya could not afford, but she knew that she would never find a better deal anywhere. At least not from a person who she could trust with her babies. Zakiya needed a break to go her way for once. Just one. Her big break came when Latrice, aka Tracy, who was a regular at the bar, came in and told her that she knew how Zakiya could make way more money much quicker. Zakiya was very interested right from the jump. Tracy took Zakiya to the strip club she worked at the very next night. Zakiya was young, but by no means was she naive to what went on at these little hole-in-the-wall strip clubs in the hood. She was aware that there was plenty of drug use by the strippers, prostitution, and pettiness amongst the women. The thing that Zakiya was naive to was the level that this shit was on. Tracy knew. Tracy was a veteran to this shit. Tracy also knew a good opportunity to make a few bucks for herself when she saw it. This was exactly what Tracy saw in Zakiya, opportunity. Zakiya was a pretty young chick. She possessed every quality that attracted men. From her light skin to her fat booty, Zakiya was what hood dudes' dreams were made of. Zakiya was about 5'6". Before she had her first child, she was very thin. That changed after she adjusted and not in a bad way. Zakiya was fortunate enough to have all of her weight go to the right places. Hips, ass, and tits. Zakiya had bluish-green eyes. The kind of eyes that always looked sleepy. The fact that her eyes were what some would call slanted made Zakiya look like she was what some call foreign. Zakiya wasn't one of those chicks who wore a lot of weave or makeup. She was blessed with long, straight, black hair, and as far as the makeup part, lots of makeup on a chick like her would have been totally unnecessary. To put it simple, Zakiya was naturally what most chicks artificially tried to look like. Contrary to popular belief, Zakiya had never been secure about her looks. She always felt as if she wasn't black enough or in touch with her African roots because of her light skin, but dudes in the hood never saw her that way. Dudes always looked at Zakiya like she was a trophy simply because she looked foreign. Zakiya couldn't see that the way people felt about her looks were more about the insecurities of the people around her and less about her. Tracy saw it. She saw all of it. Tracy knew exactly how men looked at Zakiya because she was looked at exactly the same way. It was the exact thing that made her so much money ever since she'd been stripping, but Tracy was 32 now. 32 may as well have been 65 in the stripping game. Especially with young 20 and 21-year-old chicks coming into the game every day. Tracy had been pretty much used and ran through in every city in the country. She was still good-looking, but the competition from these young chicks was just too much for her. What she needed was a fallback plan, and hopefully that plan would start with a young cutie like Zakiya. The very first night she worked at the club, Zakiya made more than she would have made at both of her jobs in a week. It was good money, and just like Tracy had said, it was easy money. Zakiya really didn't have a problem with a bunch of men feeling her ass or touching her body. And she definitely didn't have a problem with giving out lap dances. She actually liked it, all of that was good and all, but the biggest plus for Zakiya was that she didn't have to fuck anyone to make her money. The club that Zakiya and Tracy worked at was not one of the highly advertised clubs that rappers, ballplayers, and people with money frequented regularly. This club was smack dead in the middle of the hood, where folks like that avoided at all cost out of fear of being robbed or murdered, and sometimes both. The only people that attended this club was low-level drug dealers and people who may have had just a few extra dollars to blow. There was never anyone walking in here and just throwing $10,000 or more in the air. Those kinds of dudes probably would have got robbed right inside of the club. If a chick got that kind of money out of a dude in here, then you best believe she'd earned every bit of that shit. And not by twerking on stage or standing around jiggling her ass. The only way a chick was getting that kind of money in a place like this was to have sex with someone, and with light pockets all up in the club, it would probably need to be with more than one someone. After her first night at the club, Zakiya was aware of how frequently this happened because she'd seen it with her own eyes. More than one time over the course of the night, when Zakiya was sitting on a man's lap giving him a lap dance, a girl was in the chair right next to her riding a guy. And from where she was sitting, she could clearly see that they were having sex and not a lap dance. That kind of thing was very normal at the club. It was always so dark in there that no one even seemed to notice or care. Zakiya was propositioned for sex on multiple occasions during the night. She turned each request down. She thought that turning down a request for sex would surely make the man not want to get a lap dance with her. That wasn't the case. Dudes were more than happy to pay to have the exotic-looking Zakiya grind on them and send them on their way with a very bad case of blue balls. Zakiya went home early the next morning, happy and content with what she was sure was going to be the start to her new life. Her happiness quickly faded when she arrived at M's, Kathy's house to pick up her kids. Miss Kathy was cool with watching the kids when she thought that Zakiya was a single mother trying to make it in this world the right way. The fact that Zakiya had stayed out all night had convinced Miss Kathy that this was not the case. Miss Kathy had no idea what Zakiya had done last night, nor did she care. Miss Kathy was straight up old school, and as far as she was concerned, no respectable mother stayed out all night, period. Truthfully, Zakiya could have been working the overnight shift stocking shelves at Walmart for all that Miss Kathy knew, but that was not a thought in Miss Kathy's mind, nor would it have mattered to Miss Kathy. Good women did not stay out all night and leave their children with a babysitter, end of story. Zakiya did not argue with Miss Kathy or bother trying to explain things to her. She figured that with the kind of money that she planned on making every night, finding someone to watch her kids was not going to be a big problem now that she would be able to afford to pay them pretty well. Zakiya was right about that too. When she told her cousin Rashida that she would pay her $500 a week to watch her kids while she worked, Rashida, who had two kids of her own and no job, jumped at the opportunity. It took Zakiya 2 days to get her babysitting affairs in order. The minute that was straightened out, Zakiya was headed back to the club, and she couldn't wait to get there and make some more money. To her surprise and dismay, this night was nothing like her first one. The club was always full of broke people, but tonight the brokenness was on a whole other level. Dudes were standing around trying to get free feels as she walked by, and none of their cheap asses were willing to pay for a lap dance. Working the stage wasn't doing much better either. The few dollars bills that were on the stage didn't add up to much when she finished dancing, and to make matters worse, damn near every $20 bill that was in her pile when Zakiya counted her money was a counterfeit bill. Zakiya was pissed. Nights like these ones was exactly what she did not need. She was feeling like she was wasting time being here tonight. Zakiya caught up to Tracy in the dressing room and told her about how slow her night had been. Tracy said it had been slow for her tonight, but she wasn't really worried about it. Tracy told her that she had something set up for the night. She asked Zakiya if she wanted a piece of her action. Zakiya wasn't stupid at all. She knew exactly what "I got something set up for the night" meant. If she hadn't been looking at the small amount of money in her hand that she made tonight, her decision would have been an easy one. Not wanting the night to be a wash was making Zakiya think about this harder than she should have been. After much thought about it and finding out that she was going to make at least $1,000, Zakiya agreed to go with Tracy. She figured that this was going to be a one-time thing for her, she was not a prostitute. Tracy drove Zakiya to the Marriott Hotel in Doylestown, PA, where her client, Trick, or whatever you want to call him, was waiting for her. Zakiya was surprised when she got to the room. She was expecting to see a drug dealer or something in the room waiting. To her surprise, a white man who looked to be in his mid to late 50s and resembled Al Bundy from Married with Children was waiting for them on the other side of the hotel room door. To say that Zakiya was not attracted to the older man would be an understatement. After the three sat around, smoked a blunt, and drank what seemed like endless amounts of Hennessy, Al Bundy wasn't looking all that bad to Zakiya. And when he pulled 10 crispy $100 bills out of his pocket and handed it to Tracy, that joker became drop-dead gorgeous to Zakiya in an instant. Al Bundy made it clear to the ladies that he wanted to have sex with both of them. Tracy made it clear to Al Bundy that he was going to have to pay them $1,000 each. And Zakiya made it clear to Al Bundy and Tracy that a threesome was not happening. After all three of them agreed to each other's terms, Zakiya went into the bathroom so Al and Tracy could get busy. Zakiya was already high and drunk, but she drank plenty more Henny and smoked another blunt while she sat in the bathroom waiting for her turn. When Tracy came knocking on the door 10 minutes later, Zakiya assumed that her and Tracy would switch spots and Tracy would wait in the bathroom until she finished. By the time Zakiya came walking out the bathroom, Tracy was already dressed and on her way out the door. Zakiya looked at her accusingly. "Where the hell you going at?" "I may be right outside in the hallway. Come get me when you finished." Zakiya shrugged. Tracy was the last thing on her mind right now. Zakiya was thinking about getting this paper. Al's old ass must have been taking Viagra or something because he was immediately ready to go again. Zakiya serviced Al in a matter of minutes. Even though he had a condom on and was constantly trying to kiss her on the lips, Zakiya managed to handle her business and put that work down on the old man. Al came in a matter of minutes from the pure excitement of being up inside of the young, pretty, black woman. Zakiya did not get sexually satisfied, but she was cool with that after Al peeled her off 10 of them crispy $100 bills. For a second, Zakiya had forgot that this was business and not about her pleasure. Al told her that he wanted to go again and that he'd pay her again. He said that he needed about 20 to 30 minutes to get it up again. Zakiya was confused by the fact that he'd managed to get it up so quickly after he finished having sex with Tracy, but now he was going to need a half hour to get it up again? Zakiya found that strange, but money was money and she was on a paper chase right now. She told Al that she was going to go in the hallway and talk to Tracy for a minute and that she'd be right back. Zakiya put her clothes on and walked out into the hallway. Tracy was out there talking to four young white guys. They were in their 20s and looked to be college students. The young men walked off down the hall when Zakiya came stepping out into the hallway. The minute the young men were out of sight, Tracy turned to Zakiya full of excitement. "Githura, we about to get paid. Those dudes want to see us and they got plenty of money. You down?" At this point, Zakiya was thinking more about money than morals, how she would be perceived, or any of that shit. Besides, she'd already slept with one dude for money tonight. As far as she was concerned, since she'd already done it, at this point it really wasn't much difference if she slept with one guy for money or 100 guys. Money was money and she was after it. Zakiya paused and thought about it before she answered. "So how are we supposed to have sex with all four of them?" Unlike Sway in the morning, Tracy did have all the answers. "I'll take two of them and you take the other two. You can handle that. Plus they white boys. They probably gonna come in like 2 minutes. We'll be right in and out of that bitch in a heartbeat. How much they gon' pay?" Tracy laughed at Zakiya's question. "Trust me, they know that me or anybody I'm ever with does not come cheap. I don't move out for less than $1,000. Zakiya looked at Tracy as she attempted to cover her tracks. "I mean, while we were standing out here talking, I let them know more than one time." Zakiya nodded. She'd already caught on to Tracy's scheming ass. It really didn't matter though. She had a little plan of her own that she was about to put in motion. "All right, let me run in here and tell the old guy that I'll be right back. He wants to do it again with me in a little while." Zakiya walked back into the hotel room and told Al Bundy that she would be back in a little while. She told him that she didn't know how long she would be, but she would definitely be back, so wait for her. Zakiya was not letting that other $1,000 walk away from her. Zakiya walked back out into the hall and her and Tracy headed up to the penthouse where the guys they were meeting were staying in a suite. Zakiya walked into the suite like she owned the place. She walked into the suite and had things her way. She strategically grabbed the nerdiest looking guy by the hand and led him to one of the rooms where she had sex with him. Even though he seemed kind of scared at first, Zakiya managed to make him feel like he was the man and that he'd thoroughly satisfied her sexually by the time they were finished. When they were done, the guy handed her $500. He told her that this was the price the other girl said she wanted. Zakiya smiled. She already knew that Tracy was out to fuck her over. That was okay because Tracy might be getting her little money now, but Zakiya was going to get much more in the long run. She gave the guy her phone number before she sent him out of the room to go get the other guy. Zakiya told him that she really enjoyed being with him and she hoped that they could see each other again in a different setting so they both could really get to know each other. She assured him that this wasn't something she did on a regular basis and that she really liked him. The next guy came in and Zakiya had sex with him too. Just like the first guy, she gave this one her number and fed him the same line that she'd ran on the first guy. After Zakiya took a quick bird bath in the bathroom, she walked back out into the living room area. It came as no surprise to her that Tracy was gone. Zakiya had put it all together a while ago. Tracy didn't meet these dudes in the hallway. Tracy already knew these dudes. While Zakiya was in the bathroom back at Al Bundy's room, Tracy had called the dudes up. She most likely got them to pay her for hooking them up with Zakiya. The exact way that she did with Al Bundy, who Tracy never even had sex with. They were in the room snorting coke the whole time that Zakiya was in the bathroom. Tracy thought that she was a pimp and she thought that Zakiya was dumb enough to allow herself to be pimped out. Zakiya already had her mind made up that if she was going to sell pussy, she was going to be working for herself. Why pay a middleman when all of that dough could be going into her pockets? Zakiya planned on getting her pussy selling business started with what was sure to be Tracy's former customers. Zakiya was sure of that because she put her thing down with each of the men she slept with tonight. She knew each one of them probably had thoughts of making her their girlfriend, and that was exactly why she gave them her phone number secretly. Unlike Tracy's dumbass, Sakia planned on digging deeper in these guys' pockets than a little $500 for one night of sex. She planned on making all of them fall in love with her and getting her hands on all their shit. Sakia was learning the game on the job and she was learning it quickly. She may have been learning it a little too quickly for her own good. The other two guys were asking about when they were going to get their turn. The minute Sakia stepped into the living room. She told them that she wasn't a hooker, plain and simple. No explanation needed. It was best to leave them wondering. Sakia knew that once again Tracy hadn't fucked anyone. She also knew that turning down the last two guys was going to work in her favor in the long run because it would make the two guys she did sleep with feel even more special. Sakia went back downstairs to Al Bundy's room. She had sex with him and Al Bundy pulled out his money to pay her again when they finished. Sakia told him she didn't want the money. She told him that having sex with him was making her feel like he was someone she wanted to get to know and possibly build something with. Al Bundy had been entranced by Zakia's beauty from the moment he first laid eyes on her. He couldn't think of anything he would want more than to have the honor of having the pretty young woman all to himself. He was all in without a doubt. Sakia and Al Bundy smoked, drank, talked, and had sex all night long. After talking to him, Sakia found out that Al Bundy's name was Frank and Frank was pussy-whipped already. Sakia slept next to Frank that night thinking about her plan and her future. Neither one of them had anything to do with Tracy's scheming ass or that dirty ass strip club. Sakia promised herself that she was never going back to that shit. Sakia stayed true to her word. She never saw Tracy again and she never went back to work at that strip club again either. She also never saw the second guy that was with the four white boys that night again. He never called her. He didn't bite on her game. Oh well, she figured that there was bound to be some collateral damage along the way. The nerdy guy called her though. He called her the very next day as a matter of fact. Kia talked to him on the phone for hours. Kia had already laid the groundwork the night she had sex with him and now she hooked him all the way in with the great personality that she possessed. Kia was a rare breed among women these days. She had a personality that was just as beautiful as her looks and she knew it. Kia was the type that could talk about anything and make it seem interesting or funny. He was really, really in love with her after their first 10 minutes of conversation. His name was Dylan and just like Frank, Dylan was hooked on the drug that was Sakia. Kia talked to Dylan on the phone from 3 p.m. all the way up to 8 p.m. when she told him that she was getting ready for bed. What Kia was really getting ready for was her date with Frank, who was coming to pick her up at 9:30. When Frank arrived, he took Kia to one of the best restaurants in the city, where he impressed her with an expensive dinner and very expensive bottles of wine. After dinner, the pair headed off to a low-key jazz club to listen to some music and talk some more. Frank was enjoying his time and conversation with Kia that he considered a well-welcomed appetizer, but he was eagerly awaiting the main course, which would be sex with Kia. Sadly for Frank, the main course never came that night. It wasn't a part of Kia's plan. Kia told Frank that she had to go home because she had to get up early tomorrow so she could go look for a new place to live. She told him that her and her kids were about to get evicted because she hadn't paid her rent. Well, of course, Frank's pussy-whipped ass wasn't having none of that. He wasn't going to let his lady and her kids be out on the streets. Frank wrote Kia a check for $10,000 before he dropped her off at her house. Kia kissed Frank and let him feel her up for 20 minutes as they sat in his car in front of her house. When Kia went into the house, she smiled. Her plan was going to work. Unlike other chicks who head out on a guy until they got some money out of them and then slept with them multiple times, Kia's plan was to sleep with her victims one time the very first night they met and then keep them around and buying her things simply because they had a taste of it once and the memory of that first time and the hope that it was going to happen again would keep the guy running money into her. At the absolute most, she figured that she might have to sleep with a guy once a month to keep his memory fresh as to how bomb her pussy was. Yup, Kia had it all figured out, and she would never have to work another day in her life. After a month, Kia's plan was working, but it wasn't working out as good as she'd expected it to. Frank was running money into her on a daily and she still hadn't slept with him again. She let him eat her out a couple of times, but that was it. Dylan wasn't what she hoped he would be. He was a nerd and he was working on something that might make him rich one day, but he didn't have the kind of money right now that she was hoping for. And right now was all that really mattered to Kia. Dylan was, however, part of a circle of friends who hung with people who had money. And that was where Kia's next come up came from. Dylan invited Kia down to Miami where some of his friends were at during spring break. Kia gladly accepted the invitation to go to Miami with Dylan. Kia was sure there were going to be some big money dudes in Miami, and she planned on finding one to finance her life. She went to Miami as Dylan's girlfriend, but she didn't plan on coming home that way. Kia and Dylan went to a pool party their second day there. Kia was the center of attention from the moment she stepped foot in the place. Even with all of the beautiful women walking around the pool party in Miami, Kia stood out. Kia and Dylan sat by the pool talking. The minute he got up to go get her a drink, a hawk swooped in. He introduced himself as Juwan. Juwan looked like a light-skinned black guy, but Kia could tell that he wasn't American the moment he started speaking. Juwan claimed to be a prince. Not just a prince, but a rich Saudi prince who was the son of an oil tycoon and heir to the throne. Kia almost laughed in this fool's face. Who the hell did he think he was fooling with this fake-ass game? Juwan must have noticed that Kia, though he was lying. He offered to fly her to Dubai with him for a week. Kia accepted his invitation because she honestly thought that he was lying and she wanted to see how far he was willing to go to keep this lie going. When Dylan came back with their drinks, Kia was gone. She left the party with Juwan to see how far his lie would go. Kia figured she may be able to get a few $1,000s out of him simply because he was trying to impress her. She figured that Juwan was taking her to his hotel room. He didn't. He took her to the airport where he had a private jet waiting for them. They did end up in Dubai, and Juwan was actually a prince and soon of a billionaire oil tycoon. Kia quickly got caught up in being with Juwan, and she ended up staying in Dubai with him for a month where the two had unprotected sex 5 times a day every single day. Kia was so caught up in the fun time and luxurious lifestyle that she was in that she forgot all about her kids back at home. She told Rashida that she was only going to be gone for a weekend, and she ended up staying out there for over a month and never calling home one time to check on her kids. When Kia got home, she found a surprise waiting for her, and it wasn't a good one. Little Justin's dad had a change of heart when he got back from Iraq. He'd come to realize how much of a blessing having a child was, and he wanted to be in his child's life. Especially when he tracked his son down and went to see him at Rashida's house. The child was a splitting image of him. Big Justin stayed in Philly for a week. He went over to Rashida's house and spent time with him every day. Every day he asked where his son's mother was. Rashida honestly had no idea, and she told him. Justin considered Kia a deadbeat mother at that point. Really, what kind of woman would just run off and not tell anyone where she was, and on top of that not even call to check on their child? When Justin came to pick little Justin up from Rashida's house on Sunday to spend some time with him, he never brought little Justin back. That happened 3 weeks ago, and Kia didn't find out about it until she got home. She was pissed off that Rashida would just sit back and allow Justin to come take her child away like that. Rashida tried to explain to her that she was put in a jam because he was the child's father, and who was she to try to stop him from seeing his child? Kia was looking to blame anyone but herself. Kia was beyond hurt that her child was gone, and she had no idea where he was at. Kia called the police and reported that Justin had been kidnapped. Within a matter of hours, she received a phone call from a lawyer saying that her child was being taken out of her custody for the safety of the child. There was to be a hearing coming up in a few weeks that was going to determine who would have permanent custody of the child. Kia totally lost it. How the fuck could someone just be allowed to come in here and take her child away from her like that? Kia planned on hiring the best lawyer that Juwan's money could buy to fight for her when it was time for her to go to court. Before Kia could even start to handle that problem, she discovered that she had another problem on her hands. 2 weeks after getting home from Dubai, she found out that she was pregnant. She had not talked to Juwan since she'd been home, but she was sure that he was going to be happy when he learned of the news. Kia quickly found out that he wasn't happy about the news. He wasn't sad about the news either. He wasn't anything but ghost. Juwan had changed his number on her, and Kia had no way at all to get in contact with him. Once again, Kia was pregnant by a guy who probably was going to never be in the child's life. Kia felt as if she was carrying the weight of the world on her shoulders and doing it by herself. No one even cared about her as far as she was concerned. At that very moment, something happened that Kia was sure was a sign from God. Little E was laying in the bed crying. He was sleeping a few minutes ago. He must have been having another nightmare, which had become a frequent occurrence in the toddler. Seeing her child crying and screaming and crawl for her like she was the only person in the world that could save him did something to Kia. She was finally starting to realize that she was the person that her children looked to for protection, and she had barely been around. And why? cause she'd been out there chasing a come-up instead of trying to live the right way and take care of what mattered. Her children. In an instant, Kia knew that it was time for her to stop the stupid shit she'd been doing and change. Not for herself, but for the sake of her kids, who was the most important thing in the world to her right now. Instead of rushing into things, Kia took baby steps to try to turn things around for herself. When she went to court to try to regain custody of little Justin, things went exactly how she expected. The courts found her unfit to be a mother and turned over full custody of the child to big Justin. Kia was hurt and upset, but she wasn't really surprised by the outcome. The first step in the process of getting herself together was to admit to her wrongdoings. And truth be told, she had been an absentee and unfit mother to her young children. Even though big Justin was granted full custody, he didn't use it as a tool to become an asshole. Kia was allowed to get supervised visits with her son on the weekends. Kia enrolled in a GED program and also managed to find a job at a factory earning $12 per hour. Kia did nothing but go to school and work. Kia had her third child the day after completing the program and passing her GED test. She had a healthy baby girl that she named Takaya. Kia soon found a better job after going to a trade school. She became a certified pharmacy technician and was now making good money. Kia's life and mentality was beginning to change drastically. What she used to think was so important before, she was starting to see wasn't really so important at all. Some things just wasn't good for you no matter how good they looked on the surface. She had made some terrible mistakes in her young life, but some of those terrible mistakes she'd made had led to the three most valuable things in her life, her kids. Kia wouldn't change a thing about her past if she could. She just chalked it up as a valuable learning experience. She was previously going down a path that was leading her to nowhere in a hurry. Unlike other women who were traveling down the same path, Kia had been fortunate enough to wake up and change before she hit rock bottom. Kia was blessed and she knew it. She had not compiled the materialistic things that she'd hoped for. She was a struggling single mother of three. What she did have though was self-respect, independence, and morals. Those three things were more valuable than any materialistic items that she could ever acquire. As time went on, Kia and Justin came to an agreement that he would spend summers and weekends in Philly with Kia. Both of her boys were very protective of their mother, but as Justin got older, he started to take on the role of his mother's primary protector. Especially since she'd started dating her newest boyfriend Donnie 6 months ago. Justin loved his mother more than words could ever explain, and Kia had a special kind of love for her oldest son. It was probably mostly fueled by the guilt over her feeling like him being taken from her was her fault. One of Kia's top priorities was to get her children out of the hood in the hopes that they would never have to experience the life that she once lived or see the things that she'd once seen. After getting multiple raises and high praise at the job, Kia quickly moved up the corporate ladder. She was now the regional manager for the huge pharmaceutical company she worked for. Kia managed to get her credit up and save up enough money for a down payment on a beautiful home in the suburbs of Pennsylvania. She raised her kids the best that she could, and the life lessons that she taught her kids seemed to be setting in. All three of her children were good, respectable kids. They all stayed out of trouble and none of them were ever involved in any type of street activity. Kia always assumed that this would be enough to prevent her kids from being hurt or killed when they were out in the streets, but as of lately, a problem that had plagued young black men for years had reared its ugly head again. A problem that most people knew existed, but always thought that it was the type of thing that happened to someone else. It was a problem that made Kia nervous every time her boys left the house. Chapter 2. A lovely day. You can't guard me, dog. Justin teased as he drove to the hole and laid the ball up on Max like he wasn't even there. Justin was on the court giving out work on this beautiful Saturday morning in the middle of July. Saturdays was always jumping at the ball courts. Especially in the summertime. It was the one day of the week that only the best players in the neighborhood came out to ball. Justin got to the courts at 7 o'clock this morning. It was now 10 a.m. and his team hadn't lost yet. They hadn't even come close to losing. Justin walked to the benches with Max after he finished schooling him and his squad. Justin pulled his gallon of water out of his gym bag and took a big swig with his eyes closed. When he opened his eyes, there was a figure standing in front of him. Hey, Just. Justin looked up and smiled. What up, Shanika? Shanika looked over at Max, who was fake texting on his phone as he prepared to do a little ear hustling. What's up, Max? Max nodded, trying to act fake interested in what was going on in his phone. Shanika flagged him and turned back to Justin. Anyway, what you doing today? Justin thought about his schedule for the day before he answered. Nothing as far as I know. I just planned on going to jump in the shower and then I'm just chillin' all day. Well, I was thinking about rolling out to the park today. Probably just gonna chill and smoke a little tree. You trying to roll out with me today? Max looked up from his phone. Fuck the fake ear hustling, he was being straight up nosy right now and he didn't care who knew it. Everybody knew Shanika's reputation around town. She basically just gave Justin an all-access backstage pass to her pussy. Justin grimaced the minute she said the word park out of her mouth. That made him remember that he promised to take his little brother down to Philly today so they could go check out the free concert at Belmont Plateau. There was no way he could cancel on little E. He knew how much his brother was looking forward to hanging with him and just him today. He couldn't ditch his little brother today or bring Shanika with them. This was their day. It wouldn't be right to do that to E. Damn. I can't even do it today. Max couldn't control himself any longer. He jumped up to his feet.
Nigga, is you crazy?
Justin laughed and grabbed his bag as he got to his feet. Man, shut the hell up. Justin popped Max in the head with his sweaty towel before he wrapped it around his neck and put his arm around Shanika and began leading her away. Walk me to my crib. Max shook his head as he watched Justin and Shanika walk away. Shanika was only 20 years old and she was already known as a young cougar in the hood. What Max and all of the other 16 and 17-year-old boys in the neighborhood believed was that Shanika was known to have sex with boys their age from time to time. Shanika was a freak. She had been a freak for years and years. So much so, that damn near all of the dudes in the neighborhood that were her age had ran through her already. She was old news to them, but in the eyes of the younger guys in the hood she was a star. Shanika loved attention and she went wherever she could get the most of it at. Even if that meant getting the attention she craved from teenage boys. That whole thing was kind of strange because Justin nor any of his friends didn't personally know any boys their age who she supposedly had sex with. All of this was based strictly off of rumors, but because Shanika had never came out and spoke against it, the consensus was that the rumors were true. What Max and the other young guys like him didn't know was that they could never get Shanika no matter how hard they tried. She was attracted to a certain type and they weren't it. Shanika was attracted to the quiet, confident type, which was exactly what Justin was. As Justin walked the two blocks to his mom's house with Shanika, he explained his situation to her and why he couldn't kick it with her today. Something caught Justin's eye in mid-sentence and he stopped talking. Justin removed his arm from around Shanika's neck. I'll be right back. Justin ran across the street and smiled as he grabbed the bags out of Mrs. Minnie's arms. She smiled broadly when she saw Justin coming to grab her bags. Mrs. Minnie was 88 years old. She'd been married to her husband for 70 years before he passed last year. Mr. Minnie had been her everything ever since she was a very young woman. He'd been her everything so much so that Mrs. Minnie never felt that it was necessary to learn how to do some simple things for herself, like driving. She never needed to learn how to drive. Her husband had always been around to take her anywhere she needed to go. But her husband wasn't here now. Mrs. Minnie was forced to learn how to do things for herself for the first time very late in her life. Justin first met Mrs. Minnie and her husband when his mom first moved around here over 10 years ago. Justin and Mrs. Minnie's first encounter was not a nice one. Him and a few friends were walking around looking for some trouble to get into like little boys their age did at the time. They decided to throw rocks at each other. One of the rocks went flying through Mrs. Minnie's window and broke the glass. All of the boys ran and Justin was the only one to get caught. Mr. Minnie had chased the little boy down. The Minnies took Justin home to his mother and told Kia what Justin had done. Kia was pissed off. She paid for her neighbor's window and she also made Justin do yard work for the Minnies that whole summer as punishment for his deed. Justin hated having to spend his whole summer doing yard work for the elderly couple and he hated the Minnies even more than he hated doing the yard work. They were fucking his whole summer up. 2 weeks into his duties, things changed. He sat down and talked with the Minnies plenty of times and he started to like the couple. They told Justin that his debt was paid off after a month and that he didn't need to come back anymore. Justin went back on his own every morning and mowed the lawn and cleaned their front yard for free. He had major respect for the couple and now with Mr. Minnie gone, Justin took it upon himself to help Mrs. Minnie out as much as he possibly could. Justin smiled as he took the bags of groceries out of Mrs. Minnie's arms. Let me get that for you, Mrs. Minnie.
Why you didn't come and get me before you went to the market? You shouldn't be carrying these heavy bags yourself. Mrs. Minnie smiled at Justin with love and pride showing all over her face. She really loved this kid.
Thank you, and these bags really aren't that heavy.
Oh yeah. I heard that you're going away to college in the fall, congratulations. What school are you going to?
Justin smiled broadly.
I'm going to USC. I may be out in California in that warm weather year-round.
Mrs. Minnie scoffed.
Hot weather and them fast-ass girls like the one waiting for you across the street.
Justin blushed.
Nah, I'm going strictly to try to learn something and get a degree.
You better.
And if you out there sleeping with them fast-ass girls, you better make sure you're strapped up.
Justin laughed his ass off.
Strapped up, though?
Yeah, you know what I'm talking about. Justin and Mrs. Minnie walked the three houses down to her house laughing and talking. Justin took the bags to the kitchen and headed back to the living room on his way out of the house.
I'll see you in the morning, Mrs. Minnie.
Wait a minute, Justin. I want to give you something.
Wait right there.
Mrs. Minnie walked to the den and came back a minute later.
Open your hand.
Justin did as he was told and felt something with some weight in his hands seconds later. He looked down to see a beautiful gold pocket watch in his hands. Mrs. Minnie smiled at Justin.
This was my husband's pocket watch. He won this in a card game in 1941 before he went off to the war. He carried it with him during the war and he said it bought him good luck everywhere he went at. I think he would have wanted you to have this.
Justin stood speechless as he looked at the beautiful timepiece in his hands. After a speechless minute, he was finally able to form a few words.
I can't accept this, Mrs. Minnie.
It's priceless.
You should keep it. It's probably worth a lot of money.
Mrs. Minnie shook her head emphatically.
No.
I want you to have it and I want you to carry it with you at all times. It protected my husband in a war, so I'm sure that it will do the same for you in this crazy world we live in.
Justin hugged the old lady who had become his second mother tightly. Justin headed out of Mrs. Minnie's house and walked back up the street to Shanika, who was still waiting for him. Justin walked to his mother's house with Shanika talking to her along the way. He was hoping that he could reschedule their little appointment for another day. Justin and Shanika stopped walking when they got to Justin's mom's house and stood outside talking and laughing. Kia, who was inside the house cooking at the time, walked to the door the minute she heard her son's voice outside laughing and talking. She frowned when she got to the door and saw who Justin was talking to.
Justin, come inside. I need to talk to you.
Justin nodded, told Shanika he'd catch up to her a little later, and walked into the house. Kia's face turned very serious the minute Justin stepped into the house.
I don't want you around that fast-ass girl, boy.
Justin smiled at his mother. Kia folded her arms and tried her best to keep a straight face. Justin was a mirror image of his father at the same age. They had the same curly hair and dark eyes that seemed to look straight through people. That was one of the things that made Kia fall in love with Big Justin when they first met, and it was the same features in her son that never allowed her to be angry with him for long. Justin knew it too. Whenever he thought that he might be in trouble with his mother, he flashed that winning smile at her and usually got out of trouble just as fast as he'd gotten into it. Justin, who was now taller than both of his parents, grabbed Kia and tickled her. Kia laughed and pushed him away.
I ain't playing with you, boy. That girl ain't nothing but trouble. I see it all in her face. Plus, she's too damn old for you. She probably out here looking to trap somebody with a baby. It ain't gonna be my son.
Justin laughed at his mother.
I ain't even hit that yet, Mom.
Stop trippin'.
Kia playfully threw a left hook at him that he easily sidestepped.
You ain't what?
Don't play with me, little boy.
You heard what I said.
Mom, I'm 17 now. I'm a grown man, you know.
Kia laughed.
You won't be 17 until next week and you are always going to be my baby. Even when you're 50 years old.
Kia smiled and looked over her shoulder as she headed for the kitchen.
Speaking of your birthday, what you got planned for your big day?
Justin followed his mother to the kitchen, grabbed a handful of bacon, and began shoving it into his mouth as he spoke with a mouthful of food.
I don't know. I ain't got nothing planned. I'll probably just hang out with my friends or something.
Kia nodded.
I was thinking about throwing a little get-together for you here. Nothing big, just family and friends. What you think about that?
Sounds good to me,
as long as you don't invite that nigga Donnie.
Kia sighed.
What'd I tell you about using that word in this house?
I'm sorry, Mom, but I don't like that guy. He seems shady.
Kia turned from the pan of eggs that she was cooking and looked at Justin, who was now sitting at the kitchen table.
Shady how?
Justin shrugged.
I don't know. I just don't think he's the right guy for you. Plus, he's like 6 years younger than you. I just don't like it at all.
Age ain't nothing but a number. Kia stood there trying to make some sense out of her newest relationship to her son. Justin smiled. That was the opening he'd been plotting out when he brought up this topic.
That's what I was trying to tell you about Shanika, Mom.
Justin stood up and kissed his mom on the cheek. He turned around and headed up the stairs before Kia could even come up with a good comeback reply. She stood there smiling and shaking her head as she watched her oldest child walk away. He just got her again and she knew it.
Dollar 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 dollar
dollar dollar. Little Ian looked at himself in the mirror and sighed. His clothes never seemed to look cool when they were on him. They looked cool when he looked at them in the store, but once he put them on, they never looked like they did when he saw them on the mannequin in the store. He was racking his brain trying to figure out how to make his clothes look more cool on him. He figured that the best way to figure out how he looked best would be to bust out a couple poses. He picked up the $21 bills laying on his dresser and held the money up to his ear, pretending it was a phone.
If you ain't talking money, we ain't got nothing to talk about.
He heard someone giggling behind him and turned around to see his little sister Takaya standing there cracking up. He was more embarrassed than words would ever be able to explain. He threw the dollar bills at Takaya and she ran.
Mom, Kia up here in my business again.
Seconds later, he heard his mom yelling for Kia to come downstairs and leave her brother alone.
He smiled.
He hoped she was going to get in trouble for creeping up on people. He went back to posing in the mirror again. This lay was not going to work. He needed to be fly when he went to Philly today. He was a suburban kid. He'd only been to Philly a few times in his life, but he watched the news every night. And every night there was something going on in Philly. Most of the time it was something related to some kind of violence, but he didn't mind any of it. These were the type of things that happened in big cities, and as far as he was concerned, Philly was the biggest of them all. He felt that he needed to be dressed to impress when he stepped foot inside the Philly city limits.
I see you're ready to style on M today.
To hear a voice behind him startled E. He turned around to see Justin standing there smiling at him. E looked at Justin and shook his head.
I'm about to change again. This lay just don't look right.
Justin rubbed his chin as he looked at E's gear.
You cool.
You just need the right footwear to set that thing off. Follow me, youngin. Justin walked down the hallway to his room, followed by E. Justin walked to his closet and moved things around until he found the box he was looking for. He passed the box to E.
Try these on.
I had these for a few years, but I only wore them one time. Gucci's never go out of style. E tried the sneakers on and they fit perfectly. He was ready for his trip to the big city now.
Chapter 3. Roland.
After Justin got out of the shower and got dressed, he walked down the hallway to Little E's room and stuck his head inside.
You ready to bounce?
E jumped up off of his bed and turned his PlayStation off right in the middle of his game of NBA 2K.
Hell yeah. Let's go.
E and Justin headed downstairs so they could get ready to hit the road. When they got downstairs, Kia and Donnie were sitting on the couch laughing as they cuddled up closely. Kia jumped up from the couch when she saw her sons appear.
Aw shit.
Look at my boys looking like $1 million. Kia reached over on the table to grab her cell phone so she could take a picture of her two sons. E smiled as he posed for the picture.
Justin did not.
He was pissed off that Donnie was even here. He was more angry because he thought that him and his mom might have been doing something or about to do something before him and Little E came downstairs.
Mom, where Kia at?
Down the street at Kenya's house. Justin nodded. As he did, his face clearly showed that he disapproved of something.
With Kia out of the house, he was now 100% sure that Donnie and his mother were about to do something. Justin couldn't stand Donnie. Justin and E hugged Kia and headed for the door. Donnie stopped them before they left out of the house.
Hold up. Let me give my stepsons a couple of dollars before y'all head out.
Donnie stood up and reached into his pants pocket. They were empty as usual. He knew that even before he opened up his mouth to offer the boys some money. He turned and looked at Kia.
I bay, give me a few bucks to give to the boys until later when I head over to the ATM machine.
Kia smiled and grabbed her pocketbook to get her money. Justin walked out the door as soon as she did.
He didn't.
He stood there smiling and rubbing his hands together. He was looking forward to getting a couple of dollars. Kia pulled five $20 bills from her pocketbook and handed the bills to Donnie, who gave little E two of the bills and tucked the other three $20 bills into his own pocket.
Thanks.
E grabbed the bills and ran out of the house with a big smile on his face.
Dollar 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 dollar.
That $100 that she gave Donnie was $100 Kia would never see again. She knew it before she gave the money to him. Kia didn't care though. Donnie made her happy, and if he made her happy, then she was down to do whatever it took to keep him happy. Besides, he was fun. Kia felt as if fun was something that she deserved. She was only 32 years old. It wasn't like she was an old-ass woman or something. Mama needed to get hers too, and Donnie had been giving it to her good ever since they'd met 6 months ago. During her time of getting her life back on track and becoming a great mother to her children, Kia had went very long stretches without sex or even a man in her life. Her whole being had been dedicated to her kids. That was all good and everything, but she had needs that needed to be satisfied too. She was a human being with needs and wants just like everyone else. Kia had changed drastically from her younger days of having sex with guys for money and looking for that one guy to be her big catch with plenty of dough, but just like most women, she sometimes allowed her want, and in some cases need, for male companionship cloud her better judgment. And Donnie happened to be one of those cases. Kia met Donnie when she was on one of her long-term sexual droughts. This latest drought had been a very long and frustrating one, and she was jonesing for it to be over with. She hadn't had sex in over a year this time. It was all because of her ex Rico. He'd betrayed her trust something vicious. Rico had been showing Kia that he was a piece of shit from the moment they met. Kia, blinded by wanting to be in love, refused to believe what she was seeing with her own two eyes though. First things first, Rico was married already when him and Kia first started dating. He told her as much. He fed Kia a line about his wife was dying of cancer and they'd been separated for a while, and that he only wore his wedding ring out of respect for his dying wife. All of it was a lie. Rico was still very much with his wife and four kids, and his wife wasn't dying of cancer either. That was bad, but it wasn't even the best example of Rico being a piece of shit. Kia fell in love with Rico. She fell so deeply in love with Rico that she allowed herself to be played by any kind of stupid shit that Rico said out of his mouth. He convinced Kia to use her good credit that she'd worked very hard to attain to co-sign a business loan of $25,000 for him. Like the sucker for love she was at the time, Kia did it. Rico did not pay on the loan not one single time, and the bank came after her. She was still paying back that $25,000 loan to the bank today. Even that wasn't enough to make her leave Rico, who she was deeply in love with. Kia let Rico use her brand new Mercedes-Benz, which she worked much overtime to help herself be able to make the down payments and monthly payments for. He said he had to drive up to New York for business. Rico wrecked Kia's car on the highway while he was getting head by one of his many side chicks. Rico left Kia's car where it was on the highway and called and told her that she needed to come get her car before they towed it away. He jumped in a taxi with his side chick and went to the hotel before Kia even arrived at the scene of the accident. That still wasn't enough to make Kia leave Rico. The thing that made Kia leave Rico was that they were out at the club together one night. Kia mostly sat at the bar while Rico walked the club all night doing this and that. At some point in the night, he began talking to some chick. He talked to her for hours while Kia patiently waited at the bar alone. Kia got fed up and went walking the club looking for Rico so she could tell him that she was ready to leave. She spotted Rico and the chick he'd been talking to heading out the front door with Rico's hand up her skirt. Kia walked up to Rico. She wasn't one to make a scene. She calmly asked him what the hell was going on. Rico smiled and introduced Kia to the chick as his crazy-ass cousin. Kia just stood there. She was dumbfounded. Kia was not an ugly chick by a long shot. She'd never been an ugly chick. Kia had always been the pretty chick that guys hesitated to approach out of fear of getting shot down by her. Being played like this was not something that had ever happened to her before. She had no idea how to react to such blatant disrespect, especially after everything that he'd already put her through. Kia quietly walked away and pretended that she wasn't hurt. She was though. Not only was she hurt, but her ego was severely bruised. For the first time in her life, she wondered if she was good enough for a man like Rico. Was she not pretty enough? Was her sex trash? What exactly was it about her that made Rico treat her like this? Kia didn't know it, but the answer was a very simple one. Rico was a piece of shit. Kia went into a little of a depression after that. Rico called her plenty of times afterward to try to talk his way back into her life, but Kia never answered his calls. Rico had managed to make her question herself and all men who ever tried to approach her. She wanted nothing to do with any of them. Kia figured that she would rather be alone than to be disrespected by someone. All that sounded good, but after a year without sex, her hormones got the best of her. The kids were spending the weekend at friends' houses and Justin was in Cleveland with his dad. Kia decided to take the opportunity of having a little freedom to see if she could satisfy this itch she'd been needing scratched for the last year, with some good sex with zero emotional ties. Kia was out prowling for a one-night stand. She'd already convinced herself that tonight was just about one night of sex and nothing more. For that to happen, Kia knew that she needed to have sex with somebody that she was not attracted to in any kind of way. She was out to have one of those one-night stands that women never talked about or even counted when they told of how many people they'd had sex with. Kia took the ride down to Philly to find herself a sexual conquest for the night. Kia was not going to make the mistake of shitting anywhere near where she laid her head. Kia found herself in a little hole in the wall bar on Ogden's Avenue. Kia took a seat at the bar and ordered herself a few drinks as she scanned the bar with her eyes for the lucky guy who would be her sexual conquest for the night. Kia couldn't do that in peace because she was constantly being hit on by guys who did not fit the profile of what she was looking for right now. She was turning dudes down left and right while trying to find her Mr. Right Now. Kia immediately dismissed the latest guy who was trying to hit on her the minute she saw Donnie walk into the bar. He was exactly what she was looking for. She was not attracted to Donnie in any kind of way. He was short, which was a major turnoff to her. He had wild uncombed hair, which was definitely a no-go in Kia's books. She hated hair that wasn't neatly cut on a man. Donnie's shit was just up on top of his head in one of those uncombed bushes that would probably eventually turn itself into dirty-ass dreadlocks. Donnie had very bad acne, which showed itself even clearer on his very light skin. And the topping on the cake was that Donnie was missing a few teeth in the front. Kia noticed that the minute he opened his mouth. He was perfect. There would definitely not be any type of emotional connection after she slept with him one time. Donnie sat down at the far end of the bar. Kia got up from her seat, walked to the other end of the bar, and took a seat right next to Donnie. She flashed her most seductive smile at him as she spoke. "Hey cutie, you wanna buy me a drink?" Donnie looked Kia up and down. "Nah, but you can buy me one if you want." Kia raised an eyebrow. She was totally not expecting that. Guys usually went out of their way to buy her a drink. Strangely enough, Donnie not accepting the offer to buy her a drink was kind of turning her on. She decided to bite. "Okay, what are you drinking?" "Henny," Donnie said dryly. Kia ordered them both double shots. Donnie sat quietly until the drinks came and he downed his double shot in one gulp. He turned to Kia. "I'm sorry if I've been coming off as an asshole. I'm just going through some things right now. Thanks for the drink, by the way." Kia smiled. She forgot that she was playing a game for a minute. She was genuinely interested to hear what was bothering the guy. "It's all right. Do you want to talk about it?" Donnie lit up a cigarette before he ran his story down to Kia. Earlier today, Donnie got laid off from the job that he'd been working at for the last 3 years. He fought with himself thinking of how he was going to tell his fiancée that their only source of income wouldn't be coming in anymore.
Donnie managed to drag himself to the house to explain the situation to his fiancée, only to find her on her knees in the middle of the living room getting a train ran on her by two guys. Donnie attacked the dudes in a rage, only to have his ass whipped and thrown out of his own house by two naked-ass dudes who had been fucking his fiancée. That was how he lost those teeth in the front of his mouth, by the way. They'd been punched down his throat in the fight. Talk about having a bad day. Kia was astonished by Donnie's story. She felt bad for him. If anyone deserved a piece of pussy from Kia tonight, it was definitely Donnie. Kia took Donnie to the hotel and let him take his frustrations over his rough day out on her box, more than once. Donnie and Kia had sex three times straight before they took a break to smoke a blunt before they started up again. It was during their break that Kia found out a few things about Donnie. Number one was that he was a writer who'd wrote and self-published a few unsuccessful books, and number two was that he was dying to be successful and famous so that he could one day throw it up in his ex-fiancée's face. For some reason, Kia wanted to believe in Donnie. That was probably all he needed to one day become successful, was someone to just believe in him. Kia kept that thought in the back of her mind as the two got back to their night of supposedly passionate, no ties involved at all, one time only, night of sex. When the weed set in and the sex started again, Donnie was in full freak mode. And when Donnie told Kia to sit on his face and he ate her ass, she instantly knew that she was going to be the one to believe in him. Dollar 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 dollar. The minute little E and Justin walked out the door, Donnie was all over Kia. They had sex doggy style with most of their clothes still on right there on the living room floor in the middle of the afternoon. Kia stretched and moaned loudly as she pulled her jeans up when they were done. This was exactly what she needed, exactly when she needed it. A mid-afternoon quickie. This was one of the reasons she loved Donnie so much. He was spontaneous and she loved that. He was down to have sex anywhere, at any time. Just like she was. Donnie pulled his pants up and walked back over to the couch. "I bae, won't you go in there and fix me up a little sandwich or something?" Kia walked to the kitchen, washed her hands, and began pulling lunch meat, cheese and lettuce out of the fridge just like the obedient girlfriend that she was. Kia raised her voice so she could be heard by Donnie, who was sitting in the living room. "How is the book coming along?" Donnie was so busy texting that he barely looked up as he answered her. "I'm almost done. I want you to take a look at it later." Kia smiled. She was glad to hear that he was almost done, and she couldn't wait to be the first one to read the finished product. She'd read Donnie's other books, and she had to admit that they all were pretty good. She hoped like hell that this one was as good or better because she'd been the one financing Donnie's whole life. He didn't work. She was the one paying his rent, cell phone bill, and paying for what he called research for his book. She fully expected to be compensated for her kindness if Donnie's book turned out to be one that took off and made some money. "I can't wait to read it." Donnie snapped his fingers as soon as Kia finished talking. "Oh yeah. I forgot to tell you. I'm gonna need a few thousand for a book cover, advertising, and some other shit." Kia sighed as she spoke under her breath. "Of course you do. Trapped by Kareem Rahman. Get the full book at Amazon. Ebook and paperback editions available. Ebook edition has two parts. Paperback edition contains parts 1 and 2 in the same book. Trapped also has an audio edition you can get right here, narrated by JJ Travis.